Ever feel like keeping up with new medical treatments is, well, almost a full-time job?
Oh, absolutely.
You hear about these innovative therapies, but actually wading through all the information on how they work, what the risks are,
Yeah.
it can feel pretty overwhelming.
It really can.
Well, today we're diving deep into a really fascinating and increasingly important area: biologics for inflammatory bowel disease, or IBD.
Right.
Think of these as a more targeted way to manage conditions like Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis. Not so broad, more focused.
Exactly. For you listening, if you're not familiar, IBD involves your immune system mistakenly attacking parts of your bowel, causes a lot of inflammation. And biologics offer a really different strategy compared to, some of the older
So
treatments.
what's our mission for this deep dive?
Our goal here is to really clarify what these biologics are all about, how we make sure they're a safe option for you before you even start. And then we'll explore some specific examples, see how they work in practice. And we're basing this on, detailed talks with the medical professionals who actually prescribe and manage these therapies day in, day out.
Okay, so the name itself, biologics, kind of suggests they're different. What's the basic difference between these and, say, a traditional pill?
Yeah, the key difference is really how they're made. Unlike a lot of conventional drugs that are, chemically synthesized,
Right.
biologics are derived from or manufactured using living organisms. They're complex molecules developed in a lab. It's quite different from just extracting something from nature.
Ah,
And
yeah.
that biological origin is what gives them their very specific way of working.
So less like a general hammer against inflammation, more like a specialized tool for a specific job within the immune system.
Precisely. Yeah, they're classed as targeted immune therapies. Their main function is to pinpoint specific cells or proteins in your immune system.
Troublemakers.
Exactly the ones driving that damaging inflammation in the bowel. By targeting these particular players, the idea is to stop the disease process right at the source, which should lead to a significant drop in
That
symptoms.
makes a lot of sense. It's like trying to stop just that one annoying spam email instead
Ah.
of filtering your entire inbox.
That's a great analogy, actually. Or think of your immune system like an orchestra. Normally, it's all working together, right? But with IBD, maybe the violins are playing way too loud, totally out of tune. That's the inflammation. Biologics are like finding that lead violinist who's causing the chaos
Right.
and just gently asking them to quieten down, restoring the balance.
So it's not just covering up the noise, it's dealing with the source.
Exactly. Think of inflammation like dominoes falling, a chain reaction.
Okay.
Biologics often work by stepping in and stopping one crucial domino from falling, which then prevents the rest of the cascade that damages the bowel. It's much more precise than older treatments like steroids, which, affect the whole immune system much more broadly.
And the aim.
The ultimate goal for doctors is often what's called deeply causal remission, basically getting the Crohn's or colitis really stable, really quiet.
That sounds incredibly promising. Now, I think I heard that w in this biologics group, there's actually one that's a tablet, not an injection or infusion.
You're right to pick up on that, yeah. While most of these targeted therapies are biologics given by injection or infusion, there is one medication in this landscape that's a tablet. We'll definitely cover that one specifically, towards the end of our chat today.
Okay, good to know. So we're using these very targeted drugs to calm down the immune system in the gut. Now, the big question for anyone considering this: how do doctors make sure this powerful approach is actually safe for me?
Safety is, well, it's paramount, absolutely top priority. And there are several key checks we always do before anyone starts these meds.
Okay.
Now, it's important to be clear, while these drugs do alter immune function precisely, they don't usually cause the broad immunosuppression you might see with, say, chemotherapy.
Right, not the same thing.
No. But because the immune system is being adjusted, we do need to be cautious about infections.
So what kind of general advice do you give someone starting biologics?
It often mirrors the general public health advice for people whose immune systems might be a bit compromised. So, paying close attention to food safety, avoiding things like raw eggs, unpasteurized milk, raw sprouts, that kind of thing.
Why those specifically?
The concern there is mainly about reducing the risk of infections like listeriosis. It could be more serious if your immune system isn't quite at 100%.
Makes sense.
And critically, we always tell patients, if you get unwell with another infection, common cold, flu, skin abscess, even a dental infection, hold off taking your biologic dose.
Just skip it.
Well, usually just delay it. The good thing is, for most of these drugs, you can usually shift the dose by a few days to wait until you're better. It's flexible.
That's really practical. You also mentioned a screening process. What does that involve?
Right, the screening. It's designed to catch any pre-existing conditions that these drugs might reactivate or worsen. A crucial one is checking for any past contact with tuberculosis, TB.
Why TB?
Because these drugs can potentially reactivate latent TB where someone's been exposed but isn't actively ill. So we do a specific blood test for that.
Okay.
We also check if you have antibodies to certain viruses like chickenpox and glandular fever, just to see if you've had them before, plus general health checks, questions about blood clot history, that kind of thing.
And I remember you mentioned chest x-rays sometimes.
Yes, that's specifically for patients starting anti-TNF drugs, so infliximab and adalimumab.
Why those two?
It's just that those particular drugs have shown a slightly stronger link to potentially reactivating TB compared to some of the others we'll discuss, so it's an extra precaution.
Okay, so after all these important safety checks are done, someone starts the biologic. How are they actually given? It's not usually a daily pill, you said.
That's right. Most IVD biologics are given either as an injection or through an IV infusion. Some are injections patients learn to do themselves at home after really good training from a nurse, of course. Others need a visit to a clinic or hospital for the infusion.
Let's talk about the home injections first. That might sound a bit intimidating for some people.
It can seem daunting at first, yeah, but it's important to know it's usually not a daily thing. Depending on the drug, it might be once every 2 weeks, maybe even less often.
Okay.
And the ones stored at home nearly always need refrigeration, usually between 2 and 8 degrees Celsius.
Cold injections sound stingy.
Well, that's why we advise taking the medication out of the fridge about 30 minutes before injecting. Letting it warm up to room temperature really helps reduce any stinging.
Good tip.
You can even get little fridge thermometers to check the temperatures, right? And like I said, specialist nurses give really thorough, hands-on training on the technique before anyone starts doing it themselves.
And what about the infusions in the clinic? What's that like?
Infusion units are generally set up to be pretty comfortable. Patients usually have reclining chairs, often can get tea or coffee, use their phones, laptops, read a book, whatever helps pass the time.
How long does it take?
Well, when you first start, the infusion rate is usually slower, and there's an observation period afterwards while staff monitor for reactions. But as you get stable on the drug over time, the actual infusion time often gets shorter.
Right.
And it's really important for patients to call the unit if they feel unwell before coming in for an appointment, just to make sure it's safe to proceed.
Now, a question probably on a lot of people's minds, vaccinations. What's the advice if you're on a biologic?
Very important question. The general advice is yes, get the annual flu vaccine and also the pneumococcal vaccine that protects against certain bacterial pneumonias.
And COVID vaccines.
Absolutely safe with these medications. Definitely encouraged when you're eligible.
Okay.
Now, there's no direct clash between the vaccines and the biologic.
No interaction.
No direct interaction that's harmful. But some people might choose to schedule their vaccine and their biologic injection or infusion a day or two apart, just so they don't potentially feel a bit under the weather from both things at the exact same time.
Just a practical comfort thing.
Exactly.
Okay, that's really helpful. So we've got a much better handle on what biologics are, the safety side.
Yeah.
Now let's get into the specifics. I know our source has covered several different ones. Where should we start?
Let's start with infliximab and adalimumab. These were among the very first biologics available for IBD.
The originals, almost.
Pretty much. So we have the most long-term experience with them for both Crohn's and ulcerative colitis. They belong to a class called anti-TNF-alpha monoclonal antibodies.
Anti-TNF-alpha sounds like it's hitting a specific target in that inflammation process.
Exactly. TNF-alpha tumor necrosis factor alpha is a signaling molecule, a messenger protein, that's involved really early in the inflammation cascade.
Right at the start.
Pretty much. Both infliximab and adalimumab work by blocking the action of this TNF-alpha. They interrupt the signals that lead to that overactive immune response in the bowel.
Okay.
Now, there's a subtle difference. Infliximab is chimeric, meaning it has some protein bits originally from mice. Adalimumab is more human-based, so the body is generally less likely to see it as foreign.
Interesting. Does that difference matter in terms of how well they work or how fast?
You know, studies haven't really shown a big difference in overall effectiveness or speed of action. The main differences between them really boil down to how they're given.
Okay, let's break that down then. How is infliximab usually given?
So traditionally, infliximab starts with a series of infusions in the clinic. the induction phase.
Right.
First infusion, then another 2 weeks later, then a third 4 weeks after that. These initial ones usually take about 2 hours to infuse, plus an hour of observation afterward.
Okay, quite involved initially.
Yeah. Then, if it's working well, you move to maintenance infusions, typically every 8 weeks. And over time, if things are stable, the infusion time can often be shortened down to an hour, maybe even just 30 minutes eventually.
But I think you mentioned there's another option for infliximab now, something newer.
Yes, exactly. That's a really key development. Subcutaneous infliximab is now available.
Subcutaneous.
Under the skin.
Yep, injections. So after those first three clinic infusions, patients might have the option to switch to injecting themselves at home every 2 weeks.
How do they do that?
It uses a pen device. Remisimapen is one example. It's designed to be pretty simple.
Mm-hmm.
Take off the cap, press it firmly against your skin. It clicks, delivers the dose, clicks again when it's done.
Sounds straightforward.
It is. But even with home injections, you still need regular clinic follow-ups for checkups and blood monitoring. That doesn't change.
Right. Still need the oversight. Now, what about adalimumab? How's that given?
Adalimumab is subcutaneous injections right from the start. It also comes in pre-filled pens, different strengths like 80 milligrams and 40 milligrams.
Right. The first dose is often higher, maybe 280 milligram pens. Then maintenance doses are usually every 2 weeks, maybe alternating 80 milligrams and 40 milligrams, or sometimes just 40 milligrams every other week. Depends on the person.
And the pen works differently.
Slightly, yeah. You take off two caps, hold it against the skin, press and release. There's a little window where a yellow indicator pops up to show the dose went in.
And these are refrigerated too?
Yes. Adalimumab pens also need refrigeration. They are maybe a little more stable if left out accidentally for a bit longer than infliximab, which is a small plus.
Any stinging with this one?
Importantly, like the subcutaneous infliximab, adalimumab doesn't have citrate in it. Citrate can sometimes cause stinging.
Ah, good.
And the needles are really fine and small, which helps. Again, nurses provide full training and support for injecting at home.
So for infliximab, it's a choice then, infusion or home injection, depending on lifestyle.
Pretty much, yeah. Patient preference and what fits best.
That's a really clear look at those two. Mm-hmm. What's the next biologic on our list?
Next up is ustekinumab. This one targets different inflammatory messengers, interleukins 12 and 23.
Interleukins. Okay.
Yeah, these particular ones seem quite active in driving inflammation in the bowel lining in IBD.
Ustekinumab. Bit of a mouthful. Any other name?
Yes, the brand name is Stelara. Most people find that easier.
Stelara, got it. How's this one given?
It's kind of a mix. The very first dose, the loading dose, is bigger and given as an IV infusion in the clinic. Takes about an hour, plus a short observation time.
Okay, infusion first. Then what?
After that first infusion, the ongoing treatment is subcutaneous injections every 8 weeks.
Every 8 weeks? That's less frequent.
It is. And sometimes if someone's doing really well, that interval might even be stretched to every 12 weeks based on their doctor's call.
And how are those injections given?
They use a pre-filled syringe. Might look similar if you've seen injections for blood thinners, that kind of thing. The technique is pretty standard for sub-Q belly button area or upper thighs. Needle goes in straight or at a slight angle, push the plunger. A nice feature is the needle pulls back into a safety sheath afterwards.
Sounds like there's support for people using this at home, too.
Oh, definitely. Often a home healthcare company gets involved. They deliver the drug.
Convenient.
And provide a nurse who can come to your home for training and support, especially for the first few doses. Because it's every 8 or 12 weeks, that nursing support can be really helpful long term.
And how do patients find it, generally?
Generally, the feedback is pretty positive. Some people mention mild headaches after the first infusion, but that usually settles down. And like adalimumab, Stelara doesn't contain citrate.
Good to know. Okay, what's next after Stelara?
The next one is vitolizumab. This one's interesting because it's very targeted. It goes after something called alpha-4-beta-7 integrin receptors.
Okay, what do those do?
These receptors are mainly found on immune cells heading towards the gut. So vitolizumab is quite gut-centric in its action. The aim is to reduce inflammation and promote healing specifically in the bowel.
Gut-centric?
Mm-hmm.
Does that potentially mean fewer side effects elsewhere in the body?
That's the theory behind it, yes. Because it's focused on the gut, it might have a lower risk of systemic side effects compared to some biologics with broader immune effects.
How is it given? Infusions again?
It starts with infusions, yes. Loading doses at week 0, week 2, and week 6. The infusion itself is quite quick, about 30 minutes.
Oh, faster.
Yeah, but there's still an observation period, usually 2 hours after the first two, then an hour after that. For Crohn's patients, sometimes there's a fourth infusion at week 10.
And maintenance.
Maintenance infusions are typically every 8 weeks after the loading phase.
So regular clinic visits. Is there a home option for vedolizumab too?
Yes, there is. After finishing the loading infusions, patients can opt for subcutaneous injections at home every 2 weeks, again, using a pen device.
Same setup. Home delivery, nurse training.
Exactly the same. Home delivery of the medication, nurses provide the training on the pen. For the vedolizumab pen, you take off the cap, push it down firmly against the skin until you hear two clicks. That means the dose is done.
Anything specific to know about the vedolizumab injection?
Yes, this one does contain citrate.
Ah, so the warming up trick is important here.
Definitely. Taking it out of the fridge 30 minutes beforehand to let it reach room temperature is recommended to minimize any potential stinging. Injection sites are the usual belly or thigh.
So again, it's a trade-off. Convenience of home injections every 2 weeks versus fewer trips to the clinic for infusions every 8 weeks.
Precisely. And regardless of how it's given, patients still need regular blood tests, usually every 3 months or so, even with home injections. These might line up with monitoring for other drugs they're on, like azathioprine.
Right.
And of course, regular consultant reviews, at least annually, to check everything's going well and decide on continuing treatment.
That covers vedolizumab really well. Now, there was one more, the tablet one.
That's the one, tofacitinib. This is a newer option, primarily used for ulcerative colitis.
Okay.
And unlike all the biologics we've discussed, tofacitinib isn't a biologic protein. It's a small molecule inhibitor. And crucially, it's taken as a tablet, usually twice a day.
A tablet. That feels very different. How does a tablet work in this targeted way?
Well, because it's a much smaller molecule, it can be absorbed into the bloodstream easily after you swallow it. It gets past the digestive enzymes that would break down those big biologic proteins.
Ah, okay. How's dosing work?
Typically, you start with 10 milligrams twice daily. That's the loading dose, usually for 8 weeks.
Then what?
Around 6 weeks, the doctors assess the response. If it's working well, remission achieved, the dose is usually dropped to 5 milligrams twice daily for maintenance. If the response isn't quite there yet, they might extend that higher induction dose for another 8 weeks.
Can you take it with other immune drugs?
That's a really key point. Generally, no. Because tofacitinib affects the immune system, you usually need to stop other immunosuppressants like azathioprine or mercaptopurine at least 2 weeks before starting it.
Why is that?
To avoid suppressing the immune system too much, double dipping, essentially.
Got it. Any specific risks or side effects with tofacitinib people should know about?
Yes. As it's newer, we're still learning. There seems to be a slightly increased risk of blood clots, pulmonary embolism, or DVT.
Okay.
But it's important context that active ulcerative colitis itself increases clot risk. So doctors screen carefully for any history of clots, personal or family, and might involve hematology specialists.
Anything else?
Like other immune modulating drugs, it can potentially reactivate certain viruses, like the one causing chickenpox and shingles, varicella zoster. So immunity is usually checked beforehand. And the same advice applies. Hold off taking it if you get acutely unwell with an infection. Blood tests are done around 8 weeks in to check lipids. Cholesterol can sometimes go up slightly as inflammation settles. Then checks every 3 months or so, plus annual consultant reviews.
Are there any advantages to it being a tablet or how it works?
One potential advantage seems to be that patients develop antibodies against the drug less often compared to some injectable biologics.
What does that mean practically?
It might mean if you have a flare-up later, increasing the dose could be an option. And there's maybe more potential to stop and restart it later, a drug holiday, without as much risk of a reaction, but that's still being studied.
Wow, that's a really thorough tour of a whole range of options for IBD.
It really is. And the key takeaway for you listening is that biologics are a huge step forward, offering much more targeted treatment, but it's absolutely crucial to have those thorough safety checks first and to really understand the specifics of whichever medication is being considered, how it's given, potential side effects, the monitoring needed.
So this deep dive, hopefully, has given you a solid overview of these different biologics for Crohn's and colitis and how they're used. But we absolutely have to stress this for your information only. It's not a substitute for talking to your own doctor or healthcare team.
Couldn't agree more. Your gastroenterologist is the expert on your situation. They're the ones to help decide the best treatment based on your specific condition, your medical history, your lifestyle, everything.
Definitely. And, you know, thinking about all this, it's just fascinating how fast IBD treatment is moving forward.
Yeah.
These targeted therapies are such a leap. It really makes you wonder what's next. Even more personalized treatments down the line.
Yeah.
It certainly leaves you thinking about where medical science might take us next.